Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast arena. Coming to the ring at this time.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
First, representing this week in Geek, and from parts unknown, he is Mike, the Birdman, Don.
I am one hardcore D.O. Double D.
His tag team partner, representing the Geekcast Radio Network, and hailing from the outer reaches of your mind, he is Mike TFG1 Blanchard.
I got four words for you. Check out my ass.
And from the Great White North, here is your special guest referee, Ryan, the Uneven Flow.
The Mountie always gets his man.
You are listening to Mayhem Mikes. And now, let's get ready to podcast!
Hello and welcome to Mayhem Mikes. This is episode 19. This is going to be our double shot of Elimination Chamber and Fastlane 2017. Elimination Chamber was SmackDown's exclusive pay-per-view and Fastlane was Raw's exclusive pay-per-view. I am, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me is Ryan the Evenflow Merkley. Hello, sir.
Yeah, hello.
So yeah, Elimination Chamber. It's been so long. I watched this obviously before we're doing this, but it's just one of those things where I'm used to watching the shows before and after, and then recording the podcast, and I don't remember a damn thing that was going on with SmackDown before or after this pay-per-view.
Terrible. Well, I mean, we did a show just before the pay-per-view anyway, so that's not too bad.
Yeah. And we did talk a bit about the aftermath of the Royal Rumble leading into Elimination and all that. So, Elimination Chamber, the kickoff match, which I highly doubt either one of us watched, was Mojo versus Hawkins.
I watched it. Don't you remember? I was complaining after we recorded.
That's right.
Nerd News, asking what the hell are these two doing on? Oh, don't worry, Raw will have a more pointless match in the middle of their pay per view. Not even on the kickoff. But anyway,
yeah,
Mojo Rawley wins. Next.
The pay per view kicked off with Becky Lynch versus Mickey James, and Becky beat Mickey. I liked that match. I thought it was interesting and fun. I like seeing Mickey back.
Yeah, it was solid, and I think she'll get better, because, I mean, she hadn't been in a WWE ring for a while.
Yeah,
she had the one match in NXT, and that's been about it up until now. This is her first major, like, full pay-per-view match.
Yeah,
in WWE, not in NXT. She had a pay-per-view match there, but...
Right.
Yeah, she'll get better, so the rust will kind of come off, but she's still more than solid enough. It's kind of nice to see somebody who was from that era when it was more about how you looked and being a model and that kind of thing versus, you know, hey, can you actually wrestle?
Oh, yeah, that's something we're going to talk about at the end of the podcast this time around, because the next episode of the podcast, hopefully, we'll have we'll do the first superstar spotlight with John Cena, profiling his career. But the next pay-per-view episode will be WrestleMania. So at the end of this, show, we'll kind of tease up certain things that are going on with WrestleMania. Then we had Kalisto and Apollo Crews versus Dolph Ziggler in a 2-on-1 handicap match.
Oh, look, Ziggler loses and beats somebody up after the match again. Haven't seen that on SmackDown lately.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, if there's thank you Ziggler chants when he beats up the faces/good guys after a match, not a good sign for those good guys.
No.
I like Apollo Crews, I like Kalisto, but they haven't given us a good enough reason to really care about them.
Didn't Apollo just come in like last year? Yeah, or 2 years ago or something?
He's had pretty limited sort of mic time.
Yeah, they haven't.
His character, quote unquote, so far has just been, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I don't know. They have not developed him yet. I don't know if I'm not sure if I'm of the opinion that he needs to go back to NXT to get more development, or if they just need to figure out what the hell they want to do with him on the main roster.
That would help, but he didn't have an awful lot of character in NXT either, and he didn't spend a lot of time there. Okay. And I think both those things kind of hurt him. Whereas some of the guys who have come up and been successful, guys like Sami Zayn and Owens, those were, A, guys who learned how to do the character stuff in the indies and were already characters there. Mm-hmm. So they came to NXT, you know, already knowing who they were going to be, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
And, yeah, I don't think Cruz did. I think he's gotten by. I shouldn't say gotten by, because he is a phenomenal wrestler. But he needs something to get the audience kind of behind him. Yeah. And he hasn't found it yet.
Nope. And then we had the SmackDown Tag Team Championship Turmoil Match. Okay, folks, get ready, because this is going to be a mouthful. American Alpha versus the Usos versus the Ascension versus Breezango versus the Vaudevillains versus Heath Slater and Rhino.
Oh my god, I'm out of breath.
And of course, American Alpha win. Which is fine. I like American Alpha, but I really do like the heel turn that the Usos have done. I think they're doing, you know, if they're going to continue on this path, I think they really should be the next tag champs. But the rest of these tag teams, it's like, why are you even here?
And that's the problem, because this was the first match of the night where we had a team or somebody be eliminated, and then they beat up somebody else. The difference was here, the team that got beat up, instead of the team that was fresh, won. And when that happens, it just makes you look crappy. Like, the Ascension came off not looking good at all in this.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it really is just American Alpha and the Usos, and it's pretty much been that way for a while. Like, there's no real believable other tag teams. They've kind of cooled their jets on Slater and Rhino.
Yeah.
I think that just kind of petered out, as we kind of figured it would.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Ascension and everyone else are just kind of there.
Yeah.
They don't win. They don't, you know, they just take pins so that American Alpha can look good or the Usos can look good.
Yeah, and that's not a good tag division. I mean, look, these tag team guys, I'm sure they all put their all into it, but the Ascension, I've never really liked their gimmick. Breezango, it's just Tyler Breeze and Fandango. Instead of giving Fandango the next, you know, female, you know, dancing with the WWE stars partner, they've teamed him up with another guy, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
I like Breeze, but I mean, they're basically, they've just been relegated to a comedy act. They're the shining stars of
SmackDown. Oh, you did not have to go there.
Well, they basically are. I mean, it's the same thing. So, the Vaudevillains, by the way, I really like. They both have talent. Aiden English is fantastic. Someday he can be a single star, but the WWE just likes kicking the legs out from under them. When they first got there, it looked like they were going places. And their feud with the New Day was actually pretty solid and entertaining. And then since then, they've done absolutely nothing. I have no idea what happened or if somebody soured on them or what. But
yeah. And then we had Nikki versus Natalya, which ended in a double countout.
I was surprised that that match was A, good. It was better than I figured it would be.
Yeah.
And B, it resulted in me actually wanting to see more of them fighting.
Yeah.
That's surprising. I was impressed with both of them. Full credit to both for pulling it off. And yeah, it was a pretty entertaining match. One of the better ones, actually. Yeah. And I mean, that was coming off of a kind of lackluster tag team turmoil.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it kind of got me and kind of got the rest of the crowd kind of into the pay-per-view again. And Nikki versus Natalya, you know, they're playing up this whole friendship thing, that they had a friendship and now the friendship is gone and blah, blah, blah. And Natalya's like, you know, I'm, you know, wrestling royalty and this, that, and the other thing. And you just think you're a rich bitch who got lucky with John Cena and all. I absolutely love the whole storyline with the two of them. Because now it's, as of this pay-per-view, now the storyline is just about them. Now that we found out that it was Natalya that attacked Nikki and whatever else, we don't have to deal with Carmella and all that other BS.
Yeah.
And then the destruction of the Wyatt family kind of starts here because we've got Randy versus Luke. Obviously, Randy's going to win.
Yeah, this might have been one of the best matches of the night, though. Cause
oh, absolutely.
For Harper, it would have been easy to... Well, I mean, a couple things. I mean, one, it would have been easy for him to kind of... Eh, everybody knows I'm going to lose this. But they did a good job of making it exciting, and he definitely got quite a bit of offense in. You know, he made the most of his chances. And we've said it before, I'll say it again, this whole thing has kind of rejuvenated Orton and made him way more interesting than he's been in a long time.
The last time Randy was this interesting, now I've always liked Randy ever since, you know, the late 90s when I first started seeing him. This is the most interesting he has been since he was the Legend Killer.
I think most fans like him. It's just, yeah, let's be honest, he's a little like The Miz. You can see when he's motivated and when he's not.
Right, yeah.
When they give him something to do and it's actually kind of interesting,
yeah,
he's really good. But so many times they've just thrown him together like, hey, fight Sheamus for 14 matches in a row.
God, you know? Don't remind me.
So, yeah, when they give him something to do, he can still go at a super high level and be really entertaining.
Yeah, and this whole, like I said a moment ago, this whole destruction or, you know, dissolution of the Wyatt family shtick is kind of, like I said, it's started a little bit before this, but this is pretty much where it's kind of starting, and I have never been a fan of, Bray is fine on his own, but I've never been a fan of the Wyatt family shtick, the gimmick that is the Wyatt family, the three, the this, the that, all the things that Bray says. I understand that's his gimmick and that's fine and that's what he does and he does it well, but I've just never been a fan of it. So me looking at it now and just seeing it fall apart, I'm really somehow sadistically enjoying this.
I'm really curious to see where Harper goes because the last few weeks now, after this, he's had some really good matches again, and he's people are really getting behind him. Really impressed with him.
Well, so. you know, you look at the original Wyatt family. It was Bray, Luke, and Eric. Okay, and then they brought in who was the one guy? It wasn't Strowman. There was somebody before him. Oh God, it's gonna. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
The guy was like about as tall as the fucking Undertaker. Oh, God. But anyway, they brought in the black sheep of the family kind of thing, and that didn't really work out. And then Eric Rowan kind of switched and became a bearded face, I guess you could say.
They broke them up. And yeah. Harper got injured. Rowan's been injured a couple times and is currently injured.
Yeah.
It's been that group, that faction, has had ridiculously bad luck.
Yeah. They've almost had as bad a luck as the Nexus had when the Nexus started having trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, trouble by the name of John Cena.
Okay. We know.
I know. It just happened, unfortunately.
Yeah. And then we had the SmackDown Women's Championship match. Now, was this actually for the championship? Like,
yes. Yeah, Naomi.
But didn't she Naomi get it? Didn't Alexa get it back? Or
yeah, because Naomi.
Naomi,
there we go, got hurt.
Oh, that's right.
She suffered an injury.
That's right. She had to relinquish. Okay, that's right. That's right.
But she won this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the you deserve it chance all the time. But she did deserve it. I was happy that she got it because she's been there for a while. She's been back before the whatever women's revolution.
Mm-hmm.
I hate using that because, I mean, it's a term they coined for calling up three and then four really good wrestlers. But anyway, she's always been a really good wrestler. She's been there for a while. She's never been really given a chance to kind of carry things.
Yeah.
And I was really happy for her winning and then really sad when she had to relinquish it. And her interview after this match and then her interview where she had to drop the title very much seemed like her. Like, it didn't seem like a character, that kind of thing. And that was nice to see. Nice to see her getting some mic time where she didn't have to be somebody else or something. So,
yeah, absolutely. In her case, the You Deserve It chants are very much appropriate because I remember going back almost to the first season of Total Divas when they were going to do the storyline of her getting a championship shot and whatever else, and it just went on and on and on and on and on, and until now, to my knowledge, this is her first, you know, real chance to step up to that level. And the match was just great. I love seeing their two styles mixed together. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, for the women, man, this is a tough one. All right, so for all the women wrestlers right now, I'm not sure, man, if you had to pick a male MVP for the past year, I think it has to be Styles. Because pretty much out of nowhere, he's had to carry SmackDown, and he's carried it to being better than Raw on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I would say Styles in that case, but if I was going to pick my favorite most valuable player, it'd probably be Dean. That's just me.
Yeah, I mean, my issue with that, though, is his title run was not great.
His title runs, when he's gotten titles, has never been that great, because while Dean is very much the mischievous personality and he'll do a whole bunch of backstage stuff and he'll do some amazing stuff in the ring as well, Dean has not been set up with that, oh my God, this is awesome. Like, okay, you look at Cena and Orton. You look at John and Randy from God knows how many years ago, and how long has their overall feud been going? At least 8 to 9 out of the 12 or 15 years that John's been in WWE. Okay, that's a 9-year feud. Dean does not have that equal yet. Dean does not have that opposite side of his side of the coin for someone to be going at. They use Dean, as I said, more as a mischievous thing, like the whole stuff with Ellsworth and
I was just being blunt, too. I was saying
his
matches also... There's no nice way to put this, but he gets complacent as soon as he's champion.
Yeah, he does.
And he tends to put on poor matches. I mean, Ziggler's a guy who could probably carry me to an okay match.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact they had major difficulty doing much in that was a downer. There's just, he's not, Styles is a guy who can work with anybody and has proven that. Mm-hmm. Dean's a guy who needs somebody to mesh with. I mean, his Lesnar match, you know, that's what happens when he has a guy who doesn't really want to wrestle with them.
Yeah.
But anyway, so my point was going to be, though, I'm curious. I'd be curious to see everybody's favorite pick for the women, because I think it's between Bliss and Charlotte. Charlotte's very much kind of carried the division and has improved, you know, leaps and bounds. And then Bliss just kind of came out of nowhere to be really good.
Yeah. I agree with the whole Charlotte thing, even though I would rather see Sasha or Bayley or anybody else. But I like Charlotte, don't get me wrong. You know, as a person and all that stuff, I just don't like the character. In and of itself, I would rather see Sasha or Bayley win over Charlotte. But I do agree with you with her talent, with the way that, you know, and plus she's, as she puts it in her own words, she's wrestling royalty. She's the daughter of Ric Flair.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I don't think this will ever happen, But if they ever kind of flip her or they make her do something so heelish that it pisses Stephanie off, it would be kind of nice to see a McMahon Flair thing again.
Interesting, yeah.
I don't think it's ever going to happen, but I'm just saying that, you know, since Stephanie does run the show.
If you had told me we'd see a McMahon-Styles match at WrestleMania, I would have said you were crazy. Anyway.
Are we seeing a McMahon-Styles match yet?
Shane and AJ. Yeah, because we don't need wrestlers on WrestleMania. Let's just put Shane McMahon on every year.
Look, I love Shane O'Mac, but when you said McMahon, that's not the McMahon. I was like, wait, is Vince coming back? Can we have a reunion of Vincent Kennedy McMahon and Donald J. Trump, please, and have the head shaved? Come on.
No, they should have a match for healthcare. So, the Elimination Chamber match for the title, we had The Miz, AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, Baron Corbin, Bray Wyatt, and John Cena. Mm-hmm. And they started out with Ambrose and Corbin. Corbin is another guy who's really improved since he started, because I watched him in NXT, and I did not think he was even close to being ready, and I thought they were insane for bringing him up. I thought he would need all this work, et cetera, et cetera, but they've kind of taken it slow. You know, mm-hmm. He debuted a year ago at WrestleMania when he won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And, man, he's really come along, because he dominated an awful lot in this. You know, they let him kind of run over everybody. He pretty much single-handedly eliminated Ambrose after he was eliminated himself. Because then, of course, we got the bit with The Miz just kind of waits and then pins Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, was perfect kind of Miz. And then just sort of jumps everybody. But yeah, there's a bunch of things. I was really impressed with The Miz's work in this, just because it is his usual heelish, jerkish stuff. Also, by the way, the only thing I didn't like with him is he hits the skull-crushing finale on the steel to the outside on Wyatt,
mm-hmm.
but for some reason decides to, you know, attack Cena after. Just pin Wyatt.
Yeah.
You hit a guy with your finisher, don't go like, oh man, I think I'll try a crossbody on John Cena for no apparent reason.
Yeah, that was not very smart.
But oh well, no, I liked that. This was the very early setup for Miz Cena as well. Like, mm-hmm. one of the things they did really well was they told a number of stories in this pay-per-view and set up WrestleMania.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So that's the way we
talked about this last time. Pay-per-views either tend to be, we need to focus on story, whether it's setting it up or wrapping it up, to close it off and move on to something else, or we need to have however many, let's say 10 or 12 or even, you know, 5 or 6 really, really good matches. You know, because, you know, we're not too Fastlane yet, but I just counted the Fastlane. There are 10 matches on Fastlane.
And most of them were, well, we'll get to why.
We'll get there, but I'm saying that...
Because the final one lasted a minute 20.
Yeah, well, I'm saying that, you know, and we'll get in depth into that in a little bit, but I'm just saying the way that I've seen over the last year or so when WWE sets up pay-per-view cards is that it's either to further... you know, a storyline, or it's to showcase the talent of the wrestlers. There isn't a mix of both. And I think Elimination Chamber did a very good job of mixing the two types of the way they booked the show.
I think the SmackDown pay-per-views in general have done a better job of that.
Oh, and absolutely.
The stuff, you know, the storyline or some of the... whatever you want to call it, probably not, it's not really storyline, but some of the things that are interesting, I mean, they let Wyatt pin Cena clean,
mm-hmm.
As they would again after this.
Yeah.
And then we had the finale was Wyatt AJ.
Yeah. And then that kind of went into a whole spin out of control on SmackDowns leading into Fastlane, even though you know what I mean when I say leading into Fastlane. Even though Fastlane's a Raw thing, you still have the shows the week before the pay-per-view, whether it's a Raw exclusive or a SmackDown exclusive. So overall, I enjoyed Elimination Chamber. I think it was an interesting pay-per-view. Out of the ones that we've seen so far this year, I dare say it might be one of the better ones. I'm not going to say it's the best one, but it's one of the better ones so far this year.
I'd agree.
I'd probably give it a 4 out of 5 if I'm being...
Yeah. Same here, I think.
You know, generous. So after Elimination Chamber, and like I said, leading into Fastlane, as you mentioned earlier, they have this whole John Cena Miz thing going that they're setting up and starting, and
it's Cena and Nikki versus Maryse and Miz.
Well, right, but what I'm saying is, you know, after Elimination Chamber, they had the whole thing with John and AJ, where I think I did that last episode, or that might have been after Rumble, I don't remember, where John and AJ had a great night on the mic between the two of them. And they do this again with the Miz and John, and you're going to hear that in a moment, folks, once we take this break, but I could not believe this. And we'll talk about it. We'll talk about this exchange because I think this was close to, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 9 minute long stint. And it's just amazing. Just between the two of them is just absolutely amazing. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back after this, after John Cena versus The Miz.
Cut his mic. You don't get to talk until I say you talk. This is a special edition of Miz TV. See, I have 10 years of frustration to get off my chest because you have cost me so many opportunities. Oh, and you smile, and if that microphone was on, you'd say my arrogance cost me those opportunities. But let's be honest, John. Your word to the bosses, to the higher-ups, is gospel here. You're at the top of the mountain in the WWE, and it's not because you're good. It's because you manipulate every single person that comes in your way. Let me explain this. Let me make it more clear. You ever been in a job and you wonder, how does this guy get to be where he is? And then you watch him, and he talks to the right people, makes the right connections, he smiles at the right time. And then there I am, working 10 times as hard, 10 times more talented, and trying to do all I can, and all I become is the other guy. Let me explain something to you, John. Let me explain something to you, John, before I was so rudely interrupted. I am not the other guy. I am the Miz. And you know, it's funny because I sit there and say that I'm not the other guy, but you won't let me be anything else than the other guy, but the other guy. And you know what? And here's an example. WrestleMania is right around the corner, and there was a time when I was main eventing WrestleMania against you, and I did it. I beat you. I was handed the golden opportunity. My legacy was going to be cemented as iconic. And then what did you do, John, 2 weeks later? You found a way. You found a way to manipulate the most important part of any person's career, and you turned it into nothing. And you know why? It's because you're jealous. You're jealous of me. Yes, John Cena is jealous of me. Because I'm not the only one that's seeing through it anymore. People are starting to see exactly who you really are, and you're a hypocrite. Don't believe me? This guy went toe-to-toe with The Rock. And you read him the riot act about going off to Hollywood and doing Hollywood things while John Cena was here. Mr. Hustle, loyalty, respect, never give up. You walked, talked, you bleated, you did everything WWE. Until John Cena got that phone call from Hollywood. Then a weekend turned into a month turned into 6 months. And now, we can't see you, John. You did sell out, John. They know it, I know it, and you can walk out here and you can play the character of John Cena. Hell, you're a parody of your former self, and your former self was a joke. Now you need to say, I'm John Cena, recognize, but you're not fooling anyone anymore. You're not Super Cena anymore. You're barely decent Cena. John, half and half. Half think you suck, half love you, and will buy all the merchandise in the world, no matter if you run off to Hollywood and come here a little bit on your part-time job. But the fact thing is, the reason why I have you out here is because I was so fed up with everything, because you want your cake and you want to eat it too. You want to be here, but you also want to be there. But I'm the one that's here. I'm the one, not you. I'm the one doing the media. I'm the one doing every single thing it is to make SmackDown Live the show must see. And what infuriated me the most is when you came back and you were gifted a WWE Championship match at Royal Rumble and then manipulated your way into the history books. Because regardless of how many strings you pull, there's only one greatest of all time. Woo! That was a bad woo, but you took his moment away from him just like you took millions away from me. You took my moment to become WWE Champion at the Elimination Chamber. Then a week later, you took my opportunity to challenge the WWE Champion at WrestleMania in a battle royal. So you wonder why I came back and threw you out? Because I wanted you to feel what I've felt for 10 years. I wanted you to see the dream of going to WrestleMania, and I wanted to take it away. And I'd do it again 100 times, and that'd still be 1,000 times less than what you have done to me. Now you can talk.
Oh, for real? Well, now I got to take you to school. You see, That's it. That's your best shot. That is the exclusive Miz TV where you got to get 10 years off your chest. You finally get a chance to go toe-to-toe with John Cena, and you say the same damn thing everybody's been saying for over a decade. Guys, I get it. I can't wrestle. I'm leaving for Hollywood even though I can't act. I really don't love to do this, and I manipulate everything in the WWE like I run the show. And dudes like you think I take away your chances because I got some key to the city? This is the portion of the program where I turn his theory into crap. Brace yourself. Here we go. If I was really this black arts manipulator pulling all the strings this close to WrestleMania, you think I would be standing in a ring toe-to-toe, face-to-face with you? Hell nah! I'd be standing face-to-face with The Undertaker! They know it, but guys like you still have this perception of guys like me because it's easy for you to blame me. You say that I manipulate everybody, and every week I run down here and half these people, sometimes a little more than half, at the top of their lungs will yell, Cena sucks! Oh, yeah, yeah, miss. I really got those folks fooled. You see, I never for one second ask anybody to buy into what I stand for. Those who run with me, they just believe, dude, because you cannot fake heart. It is something. You feel that? That is something that you cannot falsify, man. It is something that you feel. It is something that you see. And it is something that you know that it's true. Because with me or against me, every single person in this building and watching at home knows exactly who I am. Who the hell are you? You're a dude named Mike who shortened his last name on The Real World, tried to bootleg The Rock's electricity to get put on the WWE. And then, when you got here, you straight up stole Chris Jericho's personality. But wait, there's more. You stole Ric Flair's figure four leg lock. But wait, there's more. You stole Daniel Bryan's offense and his personality. And if you act now, I'll let all of you know that you've been reduced to stealing what AJ Styles been saying for the past 6 months. You got no idea who you are. You're a dude dressed up as a dude playing another dude. You ask any one of the greats. You ask HBK, Ric Flair, Steve Austin, Triple H, The Rock. Hell, you ask me. All different paths to success. They'll all tell you the same damn thing. They're 2 feet stepping into the ring, and they are just themselves with the volume as high as it can go. And that's why they believe you are in a large group of folks that feel you can't get so far in this company until you get held down because you're nothing more than a trend-hopping, joke-stealing, unoriginal shell of a WWE superstar. And if you for one second think I'm mad about what you did to me, me and you, we've been knocked down the same amount of times. Difference between me and you, you blame everybody else. I act like a man, stand up, and keep fighting. So, they're getting me in the mood, man, but I'll tell you what, I'm gonna end it with a piece of advice. Next time we talk, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. Because you're not the Undertaker, but if you press me again, you a dead man.
Until we say you can leave this ring. You wish you would be half the man that my husband is, but you're not. And you know what your problem is? Your ego. Yes, your ego. You are a control egomaniac freak. Oh, and you know what they say? Bigger the ego, smaller the package. So, John Cena, tell me, you're all about respect, right? Well, respect this.
Oh, wow.
You just made the biggest mistake of your life.
All right, folks, we are back here on Mayhem Mike's, and you just heard John Cena versus The Miz, which obviously, as Ryan said, is leading up to John and Nikki versus Miz and Maryse. And I've always loved when John does his mic work, but I love it when they get somebody like The Miz to work off of him well. Because there are some times when John goes in to do, you know, mic work, and he's got somebody up that he can just bulldoze over. The Miz is not somebody John Cena can bulldoze over. The Miz is somebody that can stand toe-to-toe with Cena on the mic and even in the ring. And I just absolutely love that. I think my favorite part is at the end when Maryse slaps him, and he's like, "Oh, you just made the biggest mistake of your life." He turns around and puts his hand to the entrance, and Nikki's music hits, and she comes down. Oh, man. And this is what I said when the brand split from the draft happened. Where SmackDown, I don't know if Raw's done it, I don't think Raw's done it a lot, but SmackDown started doing the mixed tags. I think Raw has done it a couple of times, but sometimes SmackDown does it a little bit more. And that's something we haven't seen in, what, 15 years, maybe? Like, there hasn't, from the time I started watching WWE again full-time in 2007 till right before the brand split draft, I don't remember between 2007 and 2015 seeing a hell of a lot of mixed tag matches.
Yeah, there's definitely been some, but I don't remember any. And this is one of the more, it's one of the more high-profile ones, just because, you know, it'll happen at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, I mean, for Miz, it gives him sort of a high-profile match, because any match against Cena at WrestleMania is going to be high-profile.
Oh, yeah.
So I think he is definitely motivated. We talked about that earlier with Orton. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, for Cena, it gives him something to do at WrestleMania. He mm-hmm. doesn't kind of have to work it full time, because apparently he's taking another break afterwards. And, you know, there's no, it's not a big deal to have him beat The Miz here, or for him, you know, to lose. And so they give him a match that it's not, there's not a question of, oh, okay, you know, John's going to lose this just because he's leaving for a few months. So at least they give him some, give him something to do that's not horribly telegraphed.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I like that too. And
the other aspect is of it is because he got eliminated from Royal Rumble and he was not going to Mania for championship, they're going to put his record breaker on hold until maybe SummerSlam or even Survivor Series. I don't know. I don't know when that record break 17 winning thing for the championship is going to be at this point. Because that's what we originally thought. We thought, okay, Cena's going to win the Rumble.
Yep.
He's going to go to Mania, you know, and he's going to get the belt, and he's going to break Flair's record. That's what we originally thought. Well, now that that didn't happen, they set up, they did this brilliantly, I think. They set up this whole thing with Miz, and then Maryse gets into it, which then brings Nikki into it again, as we've already said, doing the whole mixed tag thing at Mania, and that then leaves us with the question of, okay, so when are they going to either have John attempt to break the record or just have him break it anyway.
And you got to figure it'll be a WrestleMania where he breaks it, though, right? I mean, I would...
Are they really going to wait a whole year for them
that's
to...
what I mean. Like, that's kind of the question, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I feel, you know, it's not a moment that should be done at, you know, one of the minor pay-per-views.
Yeah.
So... when do you do it now? Do you, you know, do you put him in a holding pattern a whole year? And then when you do that, you're hoping he doesn't have, you know, a really big movie or something at the time of the next WrestleMania. Like, you don't know for sure.
Yeah.
So this is a weird, I don't know, it's a weird sort of thing. We know he's going to break, or at least I would be surprised. And let's be honest, he deserves the record as well for, you know, he's carried the company in the post attitude era on his own for periods of time before they've gotten some really good, you know, other wrestlers and reinforcements. But I mean, you know, everybody left and he was one of the ones there still standing to take over. So,
and I think that's kind of what, I think that's one of the reasons why AJ's there now. I'm not saying AJ is the next John Cena. He's not. He's a completely different character. He's a completely different person. But I think AJ has the same drive that John has always had of...
Well, that's what I was getting at earlier, too. Like, this year, he carried the company the same way Cena had, too, with... And this is not a knock on anyone on SmackDown.
Uh-huh.
But he's carrying it with inferior talent to himself.
Yeah, that's very true.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, Styles is so good. You know, he is above the others. I'm not trying to say the people on SmackDown are bad. They are not. But, yeah, that's just...
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's tough. Yeah.
Weird time in WWE right now.
Yeah, with Cena, you know, after, you know, decades, is fine.
Well,
stepping away.
Yeah, I mean, he debuted in 2002, so that's 15 years ago.
Yeah, so transition period all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, I mean, the guy has done pretty... Like, there's not anything I can think of that Cena has not done yet. There's no match that I can... Okay, maybe outside of like a Mick Foley, you know, chains and nails and whatever match, but there is no traditional wrestling match that I don't think Cena hasn't done in 15 years. He's had a good run. Am I saying that I want him to leave completely? No. But, I mean, this is a guy, and we've talked about this before in the last 2 years. This is a guy that when he's there, he's there. He's not just there in the ring doing the character. He's behind the scenes. I mean, what is it, over 500 wishes with Make-A-Wish? You know, and I think that, you know... Do I think AJ is going to take over that mantle about the Make-A-Wish and the charity stuff? I don't know, because that's not something that I really see AJ Like, when I've seen John do behind-the-scenes stuff, or when I've seen him on Total Divas doing stuff with the company, it's always about the charity work and things like that. And most of the time, if I see AJ on any of these reality shows, it's just a background shot of him passing.
Yeah, just for the record, though, when it's a heel doing it, they bury. WWE doesn't want that covered.
Yeah.
So, for example, Owens has done quite a few in the last little bit, especially since he was champion, but they don't want that out there.
And right, because so it hurts the heel character, yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting, because they don't mind when they're on Twitter and that kind of thing, but yeah, the Make-A-Wish stuff is generally not covered when it's a heel or bad guy, so, I don't know. This is something, I mean, we'll get into it more detail with it on the Cena show. We should probably quickly run down, and when I say that, I mean run it down, because it was bad. Fastlane.
Yes, Fastlane. All right, so Fastlane.
Because you don't want to talk about it.
No, I want to talk about it, but I just, you know, I mean, I know obviously we're going to do the Cena show and everything else, but I, you know, I wanted to talk about that mic work, because between him and Miz, and that was just an awesome piece. Fastlane 2017. Kickoff match was Cruiserweight, Rich Swann, Akira
Tozawa
versus the Brian Kendrick and Noam Dar. I don't watch kickoff matches, so I assume because this
is
Cruiserweight.
Match, it's same old for the Cruiserweights. Didn't really do anything for anybody. Tozawa is an outstanding talent and will probably be a star, but they need to give it more time, and they don't. And it's sort of the same old story, so I'm not going to reiterate it. Samoa Joe versus Sami Zayn.
Samoa Joe versus Sami Zayn was really cool. I like this. This is interesting. I mean,
Sami
Zayn
could have a fantastic match with a sack of potatoes. And when you put him in one of the best wrestlers in forever with Joe as well.
This Are you saying good. That you don't like Sami?
Well, I mean, I love Sami. I wish they'd push him. I really wish they'd push him.
Yeah.
And it's funny because now he seems to be the guy who loses to the big guys when they're on their way up.
Yeah.
You know, oh, we want to build Braun Strowman. Well, we'll have him beat Sami Zayn. Oh, we want to build Samoa Joe. Well, we'll have him beat Sami Zayn. And the difference was, I mean, Strowman needed somebody at that time to kind of carry him through a match. Samoa Joe can carry anybody to a really good match.
Absolutely,
So it was kind of cool, though, just to see two guys. They fought in NXT before. They had an outstanding hour-long match. And this was a solid shorter one. A couple of really good spots. I mean, Joe wins, we kind of figured.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, I kind of hope they let Sammy get some measure of redemption, but it probably not.
I don't think he's going to get some measure of redemption against Joe right away. I think what's going to happen is that because of, you know, the end of the Festival of Friendship, outside of that feud now, I think after the Jericho feud is done, I think they're going to put Sammy in a feud again back with Kevin.
I hope they don't, because that final blow-off match was special, and they've already kind of ruined it by Sammy, I swear it's every 3 weeks, has to job cleanly to Kevin.
Yeah.
And he did it again, by the way.
Yes, he did it again.
I don't know what they're doing with him. And people are behind Zayn. I mean, you hear the people cheer for him. It's more than just, you know, he's got a catchy theme song and that kind of thing. He's definitely has talent, too. I mean, anybody can see that. But, yeah, they got to figure out something to do with him. As for Joe, I mean, onwards and upwards for him.
Oh, yeah.
He's very much like Styles. He's more than capable of carrying a company if they allow him to. I mean, he has in the past in smaller companies.
I could see him as the next champion.
I expect that if they...
Right.
No, it's not that. I expect that if they don't want to ruin my year and have Roman Reigns be the one who beats Lesnar for the title inevitably, I wouldn't be surprised if they have Joe fight Lesnar for it.
That would be awesome.
And Joe is one scary person, so.
Yeah. Joe versus Lesnar might be the match that actually gets me interested. Like, look, I like watching Brock, but Brock is a train. Brock will run you through.
Yeah.
That's what he is. That's what he is physically. That's what his character is. You know, is, you know, so basically, oh, Paul Heyman, I don't think Paul's ever going to hear this, but oh my God, they could build this as the Destroyer versus the Beast or the Conqueror or whatever. Joe versus Lesnar might be the first Lesnar match I really want to see. Because Lesnar versus Roman, just Lesnar versus anybody, except for maybe Taker, it's basically Lesnar versus a ragdoll. And I don't mean that negatively on the other guy. Roman is not, I'm not just specifically meaning Roman. Roman's not a ragdoll. Seth Rollins is not a ragdoll. But next to Lesnar, they kind of are if he can F5 them all over the damn ring or suplex them.
Yeah, that's how they've been depicted. The other one I'd be curious about would be an Owens-Lesnar match. Yeah. And this is not the comedy heel Owens, but the NXT-style focused, angry, let him do all of his insane power moves that he usually uses or used to use as Kevin Steen and then as Owens in NXT. And then have them fight and build it up. That would be another one. But first we have another match to talk about with Owens. Anyway.
Yes, we'll get to that.
Yes, tag team title match. Enzo and Big Cass of Soft versus Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. And Gallows and Anderson won. This was a Raw match on the pay-per-view. Listen, I like these guys, but there was nothing special about this match. It's the usual
Wasn't this the one where Enzo came out in the wheelchair, or was that on Raw? I forget. That was on Raw. I was going to say. But yeah, no. Gallows and Anderson versus Enzo and Cass. I like seeing these two teams work together, but like you said, they've got to be matched up a little bit more evenly. You can't have one dominate over the... This isn't Rusev versus John Cena, or, you know, like we were just talking, Brock Lesnar versus anybody.
Well, the template for the Raw matches with Soft is always the same, right? It's Enzo gets beat up for 95% of the match, tags Cass. Cass comes in, they hit a couple moves, hit the rocket launcher, pin, end match. Mm-hmm. And that's basically how this one went for the most part, so... There were a couple of breakups, and then Gallows and Anderson win after Gallows breaks the pin by breaks it up. Enzo had his foot on the rope. Gallows comes by, knocks it off.
Yeah,
that's what I was trying to say. Except, man, it kept getting confused mid sentence.
But yeah, no, the Raw Tag Team Championship match was really, really fun, really, really interesting. Then we have Sasha versus Nia Jax. Sasha wins.
A little surprising.
Yeah.
I like Nia. She needs some more work. I don't know that this hurts or helps either of them necessarily, so I think it was an okay finish. It's just, for whatever reason, I felt like they were going to have Jax win again and maybe put her in, you know, triple threat match or four-way match at WrestleMania.
When they brought Sasha up for Women's Revolution thing, I was like, okay, cool. You know, she's going to come in, she's going to kick ass, she's going to do all this stuff. And she has to a certain extent. You know, her first few months, she came in and kicked ass, and then she had a couple of injuries and things like that and whatever else. And now it seems like they're either, and we'll talk about this later when we talk about Bayley and Charlotte, but it seems like Sasha is kind of turning into a manipulative character. I'm not saying she's turned heel. I'm saying that
I think she will.
She doesn't have unless you're doing Sasha versus Charlotte, which we've seen so many times in the last year and a half, You know, there's only so many times you can see that match, just like there's only so many times you can see Randy Orton versus John Cena. You know, they're now working it to where I think that, you know, the supposed friendship, and the friendship with Bayley may be accurate, it may be, you know, true to the storyline, I don't know. But, you know, they're working some angle there where eventually Sasha's going to come in and try to overtake Bayley and whatever and all that, which is kind of interesting. But again, like you said, they're not really doing anything with her. And they're not really doing anything with Nia either, because I don't think Nia can do mic work yet like Charlotte can do, like Sasha can do.
Yeah,
I don't think they've perfected that part of her character yet.
No, and to be fair, too, Charlotte's improved a ton since she started as well, but yeah.
Oh, absolutely she has, yes. And then you had Cesaro versus Jinder Mahal. Well, actually, I should say we had Cesaro versus Jinder Mahal versus The Big Show versus Rusev. Well,
they set up both matches, yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Apparently, Jinder and Rusev got angry and started fighting each other. And just randomly, they decided on the pay-per-view to have matches with all of them.
Yeah.
Great. First of all, you shouldn't be deciding on the matches during the event unless it's a big deal, and neither of these was a big deal. So Cesaro, surprise, surprise, beat Jinder Mahal, and Big Show also sort of, surprise, surprise, beats Rusev. Rusev, by the way, man, I feel bad for him. He's one of the best people on the roster. He's done a really good job. And just for some reason, they just don't want to do anything with the poor guy. But by the way, when I was watching this, my first thought as soon as I saw any of these four men was, well, shit, Owens is going to lose in 4 seconds.
Yeah. The funny thing I noticed about Rusev, and maybe because I didn't notice it before this, but he got a haircut.
Yep.
I'm like, wait, this doesn't look like your traditional Rusev that we've seen the last 2.5 years.
It's handsome Rusev.
It's handsome Rusev. That's right. I liked Big Show. I've always liked Big Show. I like that he does. Obviously, he's had the choke slam for years. I like that they're now doing, you know, the knockout punch thing. It's, you know, and all that. But again, if you're going to use Big Show, and Big Show versus Rusev is a smart match, I think. Not in this particular pay-per-view, not the way this was set up.
I don't think any of this was A, set up, and B,
yeah.
I don't think, I don't know, it didn't seem like either guy knew what was happening either.
Yeah, at the end of it, Big Show had Rusev in the corner. And normally when Big Show does the KO punch, he's standing like 2 feet away from the guy and just kind of leans in and in the end of this one, he had Rusev in the corner and he just kind of bent down, like short cocked his arm and just kind of went, doop. You know, it's like,
to be fair, if wrestling finishers are meant to be, you know, devastating and knock people out, practically watched him hurt her. Cause I mean, Big Show hits Rusev with 3 separate finishers.
Okay, yes, he did. But I'm saying the finisher the finisher he has now that is supposed to be the most devastating one, they just kind of made it look like he booped him on the nose or something. It didn't look like, you know, and it's the way it was set up. It's the way that, like I said, Rusev was in the corner. It wasn't like Rusev was standing halfway across the ring and Big Show went running up to him, which Big Show very rarely runs up to anybody, but you know what I mean. And yeah, I would love to see Big Show and Rusev have an actual feud, have an actual story that the reason why, whatever the reason is that they hate each other, that would be great, because it's very rare nowadays that we see a lot of big guys. I mean, we've seen big guys in WWE in the last 2.5 years, but it's very rare when you know, like we were saying about Braun. Braun versus... No, I know, and I understand that, and I get that, but like Braun versus Zayn, they put a big guy with a little guy, and it's like, I'd rather see the two monsters fight. Anyway. And then we have what is probably maybe the best match of the night.
I'd say it was the best match of the night by quite a bit.
I'll say it is because the simple fact is it is the first cruiserweight match that I've actually not fast-forwarded and paid attention to.
Yeah, I'd say this is the best one since the 205, since the actual cruiserweight tournament, the CWC one. And this is what happens when you actually give them time to tell a story. Now, in real life, we know this is because they decided Owens Lesnar was going to last a minute, so they actually gave the cruiserweights some time. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, first of all, Gallagher, I was super impressed with during the Cruiserweight Classic. It was really nice to finally see that out of him on WWE TV.
Right.
Because he's a really good wrestler, and he puts a lot of character into his actual wrestling and that kind of thing. So when you give him these, you know, silly one-minute segments to talk to Neville, you're not going to get much across from it.
No.
So that helped that they actually had time. Neville's a really good wrestler, and I love him as a heel.
Yeah, he was always a good wrestler when he was in WWE before. But again, I think the reason why they put him into cruiserweight was because they didn't know what to do with him. Maybe because, look, the last thing I remember Neville doing was the team up with Stephen Amell. That's really the last thing I remember that guy doing. That was that really had him on television doing something that wasn't just a standard match. Okay, so having him here, having him rebuild his... It's still the same character that he was before. It hasn't changed. It's still the Red Arrow. It's still the man that Gravity forgot and all that. And that's great, because there's nothing more aggravating sometimes than when a wrestler needs to go back and train some more or do something else or work on characterization, and then they change the character completely. I know a ton of people. I was not one of them because I thought it was kind of cool. I know a ton of people hate The Undertaker, the American Badass.
Just bring it.
Just bring it. No more debating. No more verbal posturing. Why don't we get it on here? Oh, no. Talk it's over, JR.
Oh, this is going to be a fight. No wrestling match. No titles at stake.
Roxanne, just bring it, and here it comes.
The two best in the business about to get it on here. 24 hours after they went their 60 minutes of hell with each other at Judgment Day.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Triple H and The Rock, you got to just imagine what their bodies must feel like today. After that Judgment Day Classic for look, 1 hour.
Look, Roxanne, just bring it. Go get it, Triple H.
No fear in either of these two men's eyes.
Take it to him, Triple H.
Look at their faces. Look at the eyes of these men.
They gotta go. They gotta go. Get it on.
Triple H cautiously entering the ring. And here we go. Here we go.
Got him all! Oh!
Oh, the Rock! No! Oh.
And silence, because Ryan is one of those people. I know. I'm just saying that, you know, a lot of people hated that character change. And I think if they had changed Neville's character, I don't think you would have people as interested in this Cruiserweight Championship match as they were.
Yeah, I think Neville has really helped himself a lot with this. Since then, just quickly get into Raw since then, he's going to feud with Austin Aries. That's going to be fantastic because Aries is amazing. He's a guy that's been around a while. He's a phenomenal wrestler. He's another AJ Styles Samoa Joe, wrestled for a ton of different companies, has carried titles, has carried feuds, that kind of thing. So,
Absolutely.
Looking forward to that.
Yep. And then we've got Roman versus Braun. I don't know.
I like
Roman and I like Braun and I like seeing them fight, but this match was too fucking weird. It really was.
There were some really good spots in it. I sort of like the ending. I liked that, you know, it was a mistake by Braun that led to Roman winning.
Yeah.
But alternatively, the usual thing that kind of bugs me, a couple things that really bother me, actually. One, it was still sort of the usual Reigns match. This really bugged me that Strowman shows off that he's got a knee injury. And just for whatever reason, Roman never at all targets it.
Yeah.
That's bad kind of psychology.
I think the reason, and I could be wrong about this, but I think the reason why Roman didn't target the knee injury is simply that Roman is... He's not The Miz. He's not Daniel Bryan. He doesn't have that sweeping leg kick. I'm sure he could use it if he wanted to, but that's not what we know him for with his moves. We know him for the spear. We know him for, as much as everyone hates it, the Superman punch and everything else. We know him as almost a body-to-body wrestler, not someone who's going to isolate a certain thing. He's not Chris Jericho where he can,
and that's,
you know,
fine. The problem with that is, though, you want Strowman to look really good. He's got to look good. This is his first major loss. Yes, he lost the 10-minute match with Zayn, but it doesn't really count. I mean, there was a stipulation thing. This is his first sort of clean, quote-unquote, loss, even though it was a no-DQ match. But anyway. And it hurts whenever you've got a guy who's essentially saying, well, I don't even need to, you know, use your weakness against you. I feel like it hurts Strowman a little. I don't know. Maybe I'm...
Yeah. And it didn't really add... No, you're right. And it didn't really add anything... Roman is essentially still on the same damn path he's been on since they've been booing him. I mean, I don't think they've booed him any louder than what they have here or what they've had before Fastlane at this point. And
Wait until he inevitably beats The Undertaker, because that's not... What? All right, so if you're Vince McMahon and you want Roman Reigns to be your next John Cena, your next good guy, you push him to the moon, etc., etc., why do you put him against The Undertaker?
Well, see, I could have... Okay, before the whole Cena-Bella-Miz-Maurice thing, I swear that's where they were going to go. I swear they were going to do Cena-Undertaker for WrestleMania.
That was a plan months ago, but...
Yeah.
Basically, when Cena was going to take some time off,
yeah,
that's why.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, what wasn't it like right after Rumble where there was some sort of stern look between The Undertaker and Cena? And I'm like, ooh, Cena versus The Undertaker at Mania. That could be really, really cool. And now, obviously, John's, like you just said, taking some time off. So they've got... And I like what they're doing with the mixed tag, as I've already said in this podcast. So I don't have a problem with it. I'm just pointing out that, like you're saying, Roman versus Taker, it's not exactly... It's kind of beneath Undertaker, honestly. I mean, Roman's a great guy. He's a great athlete, and he, you know, he's got great moves and all that, and he's got great ring showmanship. But, I mean, that's about as boring as watching Brock mop the floor with Roman.
Yeah, and I don't know. The biggest thing with Roman has always been they book and they write him like crap.
Yeah. Pretty much.
All right.
Raw Women's Championship. Yeah.
All right, so this was marred like the... This was marred by a more blatant problem, though. So we have Reigns Strowman, which I felt like was marred a bit by the knee injury not being...
Exploited.
Sold or exploited, yeah. Whatever you want to call it. This was marred because with the ref watching... Charlotte gets, you know, beat up by Sasha. The ref is watching the entire time and just, you know, like, yeah, I'm okay with this. I'm going to allow this. What?
Once again.
Was this an ODQ match and I forgot? Like, no.
Once again, you remind me of Mills Lane from Celebrity Deathmatch. I'll allow it. I swear to God.
I was referencing Futurama, the judge who just allows everything. I'm going to allow this. But yeah, the... no, either works, don't worry.
Yeah.
I just... That was dumb. I don't... And this is after, you know, they had this speech and everything, and Charlotte, you know, sends Dana to the back...
Yeah.
And you basically waste / get rid of Charlotte's streak here. So yep. She's lost her first pay-per-view match. Granted, it wasn't clean. Not to mention, you know, she should have won by disqualification. Which, by the way, why not just do that? That way, really. Bayley still keeps the belt. Mm-hmm. It actually makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. I like seeing the two of them work.
Oh, yeah.
But the whole storyline aspect of it, and again, this is what I was saying earlier about them setting up Sasha Bailey, them setting up Sasha trying to sabotage Bailey or trying to make it look like she's her friend when really what Sasha wants as the character is she wants her own shot, and that's obviously what is going to eventually happen. Universal Championship match, 4 seconds, and Goldberg defeats Kevin Owens. I don't think it was actually 4 seconds, but that's kind of...
Yeah, it's like look, it was 27 or something, or...
I get it. Goldberg's 49 years old. He's almost 50 years old, however the hell old he is. But it's one of those things where the guy says that he's in the best shape of his life. Yeah. I'm not saying Goldberg has to carry a 20-minute match. I'm saying that 5 minutes, 10 minutes of actually seeing him wrestle, not just doing his finishers, would have been nice. Especially in this match, when you're going up against a guy like Kevin Owens.
Not to mention the guy who's carried your company for a while. I mean,
yeah.
I don't, you know, like Cena winning the... championship and breaking the record, where I feel like it should be done at a big pay-per-view or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Much like that, I think just because of his work so far, Owens deserved better than this short bit. Yeah. Now, we're not mentioning the fact that, you know, Chris Jericho came out and distracted him.
Oh, yeah, we hadn't gotten there yet. But
was it too much to ask that, you know, he got a punch in at least? Instead... You know, Owens does the, and I loved this, by the way, Owens walks around the ring, goes out to the floor, and then he suddenly decides to run in and, you know, start the bell, and then Jericho's, you know, music hits, spear, jackhammer, the end. I don't know.
It just... I, as someone who never saw, because I wasn't watching WCW back in the day, As someone who never really saw Goldberg wrestle, what, 12 years ago, 13, however the hell many years ago it was, I want to see the guy wrestle at least 5 minutes. That's not asking too much. That's not good. He's not going to keel over from a heart attack for working for 5 minutes.
Whoa.
Is he?
5 minutes? Come on.
I mean, yeah. I mean, seriously, look, I like the spear. I like the jackhammer. But the spear has been used by so many others. It's been used by Batista. It's used by Roman. The spear is nothing new to me. The jackhammer is something new because I had never seen it before, that kind of thing. And again, other than health issues and other than shock value, there's nothing in it for Goldberg to win in a short amount of time other than to save the man's ass and make him try to look like a badass. I want to see the guy actually work. I don't want to see the guy just come in and bulldoze.
Not to mention, he shouldn't be having a part-timer bulldoze your guys who are going to be there, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Owens is going to be a wrestler for years.
Yep.
Hopefully, I mean, you know, barring, you know, freak injury, something like that. But I mean, he's still quite young. He's going to be there for quite some time. And yeah, this doesn't do him any favors. The other question I have at this point too is, two things. First of all, Jericho intervening is stupid because wouldn't Jericho want the title? He kept hinting at it. Why would you want to cost Owens the title? You know you're going to fight him at WrestleMania considering what happened. So yeah. That's kind of silly. And then two, I'm almost flip-flopping. I wonder if it would have been better for them to still have the belt involved, as in the main belt, Universal title, not just the U.S. title, mm-hmm. in that feud and have it go on last. Because honestly, it's the match that people who are watching the product regularly is probably most anticipated from Raw. Because mm-hmm. they've built it up really well. You know, we've had months and months with them as best friends. And the Festival of Friendship was really well done.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I'm almost, like I said, almost tempted to flip-flop and say, you know what? They probably should have kept the belt on them.
Yeah, they should have.
And I mean, you know.
Because what's going to happen now? Like, it's going to be Brock and Goldberg, right?
Yep.
And that's just stupid, because then what's going to happen is Goldberg is going to be like, okay, well, I won my one championship and whatever else, and I'm just going to lay down and let Brock bulldoze me. Not that he probably will. I mean, look, I like Goldberg versus Brock because I like Brock being able, as much as I enjoy Paul Heyman, I love it when Paul Heyman is taken completely out of character when Goldberg tells him to shut up. I just love that. I think that's great. But again, if you put the belt back on Brock, that means either Owens or Jericho or whoever has to go up against Brock again. And I get it. Brock is in the WWE. He's working. All this stuff. But it's just, I don't know. It just feels...
Well, you know when I, you know, what I said earlier. I figure it's going to be our old pal, you know who. Roman's the only guy who can beat Brock, and they'll... You know, trot him out there, and that's going to make the fans hate him more. Because
mm-hmm.
For some reason, this company hates the poor guy. Yeah, I don't know. So, overall, I mean, I think it's obvious I was not a huge fan of the event, A. B, overall, I don't feel like they helped the storylines much. I mean, Jericho Owens had a whole ton of heat going into it already. We already knew about Brock and, you mm-hmm. know, Goldberg. I don't think this really affects that. Aside from, you know, a little more storytelling in the women's division, which was, you know, I don't feel like they've done a whole lot with it afterwards. A fantastic cruiserweight match, which I think really helps Neville Aries in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, not a lot else, actually. I just, man, too many throwaway matches. Too many matches where we knew the outcome. I mean,
yep.
No offense to Joe Zane, because I enjoy both guys' work, but we knew mm-hmm. Joe was going to win that. The second yeah. they had these crappy last-minute matches added, we knew mm-hmm. Goldberg was going to win in about 3 seconds. We knew the outcome of the Cruiserweight match, despite how good it was, so I don't mm-hmm. know.
Outside of Joe and Zane, and... Yeah, like, outside of that and outside of the Cruiserweight Championship match, those are the two best matches of the night in my mind. The rest of it is just, which probably yeah. puts me at a 2.5 or 3 out of 5.
Wow. I don't think I've ever come anywhere near this before, but, I mean, I just didn't really enjoy this, so yeah. I'm gonna give it a 1.5 out of 5.
Wow,
I think that's the lowest rating I've given anything on.
I any think of it is
radio shows.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. Oh man, that's
I just
funny.
Didn't enjoy it, and no. I'm fine with the outcome. Like, you know, I'm speculating on the Goldberg Owens thing, but it doesn't upset me or anything like that. I do feel like Owens should have been treated better, but you know what? He'll be there again in the future. He's good enough, et cetera, et cetera. He's got enough time. So I'm not angry about the outcomes or that kind of thing. It's just, you've got to do better than being a crap episode of Raw. And that's basically yeah. what it was. Like, if this was a Monday night show, people mm-hmm. would have turned it off.
Yeah.
I mean, why am I seeing these last-minute matches with guys just thrown together on a pay-per-view? That's just not good, not planning well.
Nope, not at all. That's just crazy. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us here on Mayhem Mike's. Some of the stuff that's happened since Fastlane, obviously we're leading up to Mania.
Yay.
I'm hoping.
Hopefully, yay.
No, yeah. Yeah. Yay. Mania. I'm hoping that they're going to continue to do what they've done in the past with some of the cross-branded, when the two brands basically come together to do a pay-per-view where they have the Raw team on the Raw match, the Raw announced team on the Raw match. Because I remember when they first did the brand split, I don't remember which pay-per-view it was, but they had both brands, announced teams, doing the entire thing. Like, they got rid of the foreign desks and had all of the other guys on each of the shows do the stuff. And I'm like, that's way too many. So I'm hoping that they're still going to switch out the announced teams for each of the brands' matches and things like that. I'm looking forward to WrestleMania, but I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like we're in the same boat there. And a lot of it's Fastlane, right? I mean, if the last pay-per-view before this were Elimination Chamber, I'd feel
we'd be much
good.
More. Yeah, we'd be much more optimistic.
But it wasn't. You know.
Yeah, no. It's crazy. So coming up next, folks, we're going to do the spotlight on John Cena. WrestleMania is April 2nd, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Sunday, April 2nd. So the John Cena episode for the Superstars spotlight episodes, that's probably going to be the last Monday of the month, the Monday right before WrestleMania, so the 27th is probably when that'll air, so we'll have to record it like in 2 weeks or so from now. Because I want to go through some of his debut stuff on the network and look at, you know, when he first came into WWE and then look at stuff maybe 5 years later and then look at stuff in the last 5 years from now. So
it feels like it's the it's kind of the anti-Roman Reigns, right? I mean, He came in, he had some really good mic work, but they let him beat and then eventually sort of lose to as well. But they let him, you know, against an amazing, you know, once-in-a-lifetime talent who's going into the Hall of Fame at WrestleMania in Kurt Angle. And it was one hell of a debut. His first, you know, few months, and then that first year where he was amazingly successful. But it was a progression. He wasn't just dumped into the title picture. I mean, that's the big difference between he and Reigns.
And Roman,
and it took some time. You know, he lost. He got beat up in the process. And then the other issue, too, is to... There was some turnover at that point as WWE was trying to fill some big shoes with Rock, Austin, et cetera,
Yeah,
on their way out. And there were other guys who have kind of been forgotten about in the annals in that time who were supposed to be anointed ones who fell by the wayside or fell out of favor. You know, you had guys like Carlito, you had MVP, guys who were talented, but backstage, you know, soured on Vince for a variety of reasons. And so, you know, Cena was able to pass by them. So I think it was just he had talent, he was there, and he wasn't, you know, trouble behind the scene or anything. And so, yeah, that helped him a lot.
So another kind of a big announcement I heard from Dodd. And Mike Dodd will be returning for WrestleMania, so he will be on with us for WrestleMania. Like I said, John Cena is going to be the first superstar spotlight. After that, I think I almost want to go with a tag team. I don't think it's going to be the Shield, but it might be. Again, I'm more so looking at, like, I can look at some, we can look at some classic stuff. I have no problem with that because I want to eventually do that, but right now, I'm just looking back on, you know, the last 10 years that I've been watching WWE and, you know, more mainstream stuff. Like, we'll probably do Stone Cold eventually and stuff like that. We'll probably do Hulk Hogan, things like that. But we just don't know just as of yet. So we're going to see how the Cena episode plays out because everybody loves and hates John Cena all at the same time. And he doesn't care as long as you're making noise, so it doesn't really matter. So yeah, Mayhem Mike's episode 19, Elimination Chamber and Fastlane. Elimination Chamber good, Fastlane wah. So that's this podcast, and next time around we're going to be talking about hustle, loyalty, and respect. Where can the people find you on Twitter, sir?
At Nightbeat.
Yes. I am at TFG and Mike. You can follow at Geekcast Radio and at This Week in Geek for the respective podcast networks. We will catch you next time.
Everybody, this is Big Show.
I'm gonna use robots to be the champion of the world.
Jetson!
You have to talk Big Show out of conquering the world.
Let's find some superstars that can help us.
Let me show you how a champion does it.
Gosh, we have to stop him.
Never fail.
No one can stop you. Bring it on.
Yeah!
The Jetsons and WWE Robo WrestleMania on digital HD and DVD. Not rated.
You just made the list!
All clear.